Accession number 13358, Mr. H. Wilkinson, Reel 3.
Mr. H. Wilkinson, Reel 3. What leisure activities did you go into and do in the hut itself at night time when your work was over?
Well, summertime wasn't so bad. You could usually get out, you know, out of camp for an hour or two. In my case, it wasn't too bad. I could get a bus home. At least to see the girlfriend, as she was then, because I had no real home after that. And otherwise, it was... we used to play draughts, or we used to play cards, if we couldn't get out, or the camp cinema, or the naffy.
Gambling, was that... did that go on in the hut?
Well, not to any real extent, Harry. Not in our hut, anyway. I think they more or less played these games just to pass time, really. There might have been a halfpenny here and there now and again, but nothing drastic for anybody to fall out about.
In close proximity to a number of men, were there those who tended to come up as hurt bully or the physically aggressive type? Did you have any of those problems?
No. Well, I'll say yes and no. In a way, which you'll hear about. Most of us have been in the building trade. We got on well, you know, we could talk about various things connected to trade. And also, you found that most of them were real. Quite a few of them were local lads. But I think the corporal tended to eye folk up a bit, and because... I was one of the smallest. I'd be the next smallest in the hut, I should think. He started to lark about one night. And then he got a bit heavy, you know. He thought he could hold me down, do what he wanted, but it didn't come off. I fought him and struggled, and then I realised, oh, this isn't going to work, I'll change my tactics. I'll put a bit of a struggle up and then relax, totally limp. I seemed to puzzle him for a minute, and while he was weighing it up, I threw him from one end of the hut to the other. And I thought, well, if you want to make anything of it, it's up to you, like, but you started it, and there's plenty of witnesses if I call for them. So after that, it didn't bother me anymore.
Was there any form of bullying going on
that you saw? No, I didn't find any, Harry. If there was, I didn't see it. As I say, I think most of the chaps, apart from this little mate that joined up with me, were a bit bigger than I was, and I think some of them were a bit beefier than him, if they weren't any taller. So I think he was a bit wary. And I think that when he thought I could, saw I could fight, just to be careful, I said, I'm not as easy as you might think. And let he go at that, he never bothered me anymore.
Do you recall his name?
I don't. No, I don't. Like so many more. No, I'm not hiding the fact, but I can't recall his name.
Did you have any things like initiation ceremonies coming into the forces?
No. No, we didn't. Some of the lads used to do the sand dance with nowt on but the belt and bayonet, doing the old Arab touch. For a laugh.
Did you come close as a group, living so close together, supportive of each other?
More or less, I think, Harry, yes. Yes, a bunch of pretty good lads, and of course later on we all got dispersed. And I can't recall any of the originals, really. Once we got down to Kent.
You'd be given all this kit. Did you have regular kit inspection?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What form did that take?
Oh, just lay a full kit, usually once a week. And things had to be well washed. You had to account for everything. One there, one on and one in the wash, you know, three articles, particularly underwear, shirts and things like that. I mean, the other things, more or less two of, you know.
Were they laid out in a specific way for the inspection?
Oh, yes. One blanket down, and then your other two neatly folded at the head of the bed. And I just forget what order, really, but they were all in order. Your housewife was there, and my fork spoon.
Who carried out the inspections?
Sometimes it was just the sergeant. Sometimes it was an officer accompanied by the sergeant. But I wouldn't say the officer did it every week.
No. And you were stood by your bed?
Oh, you stood by your bed, yes.
If there were discrepancies, how were they dealt with?
Oh, well, you had to pay for the one, for a new one, and the one you lost. Yes. Also, those barrack room damages, you know, they were piled on, I don't know where, but there was always barrack room damages, whether there was or there wasn't.
What was your initial pay in the army?
7 and 6. I think it was 7 and 6.
And did you allocate?
Or 7 shillings a week and 7 shillings to the wife. I'm not quite sure. Something like that.
And did you allocate your money?
Yes, to the wife.
And from that you had these damages and?
Oh, yes, you were deducted.
Was there much stealing going on?
Well, I heard about various people having things stolen, but not in our lot. Whether we'd been all angels or what, I don't know. No, I can't recall any real incidents of thieving at all, Harry.
What was the food like? Breakfast, for example, what were you getting for breakfast?
Oh, you'd get egg and bacon. Initially, you know, in Brunswick, and bread, and you name it, you got good dinners, you got veg, meat, potatoes, things like that, and teas were good, you got maybe sausage and mash, or maybe sometimes you might get a bit of fruit. Of some sort. There's usually plenty of tea on the go, but I wasn't a tea lover.
Was there plenty of food?
Well, I think nearly everybody could have eaten a little more than they got, but I mean, it was wartime. Nobody was any the worse for it. In fact, I think some of the chaps were better for it, just having that little bit less, because some of them came in quite podgy. And by the time we moved on down to Kent, they were quite firm.
You mentioned the NAFI. What facilities did they provide?
Well, there was coffee, tea, biscuits, wads, you know, pieces of thick cake, or you might get a sandwich of some sort. And there was NAFI beer.
Was it expensive?
No, not really. I mean, I think it was quite in accordance with charges that you'd get anywhere else at that time. A bit cheaper than outside cafes, maybe, but you still had to pay, and you had a lot of money. You had to watch the pennies.
Could you take me through a typical day at Brandsbeth?
Well, I'll try.
starting off with Ravalli.
Yes, so even before, if you were awake, you could go to the cookhouse and get gunfire. That was a cup of tea. And after that, of course, there was the Ravalli, and you got yourself cleaned up. And
what time was Ravalli?
6 o'clock there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you'd start tidying yourself up and wash and shave, and then you'd go for your breakfast.
Did you just go over, or were you paraded and marched across for breakfast?
No, you went across to the dining rooms, and there was an NCO there. You usually kept order, you know, you lined up and you went in an orderly fashion, and you got whatever was coming, and porridge, if you liked it, and then it went on to ordinary breakfast, bacon, eggs, sometimes a bit of dipping bread, if there's enough fat. Plenty of tea, if you wanted it, you could go and get doubles, you know. And you went and you cleaned your mess tins. There was always some, a big tank with Condi's fluid or something in, you dip them in there, swirled them around, then you swirled them under a tap. That wasn't always available, you know, the taps to swirl your dixies out in.
Was there a time limit on your breakfast?
Oh, you had to be available for parade. 8 o'clock. And then at the start, you may go on PT for half an hour. Then you may go on, after that, you may go on to bayonet training. You know, stick the bag, and then you may go on to weapon training, or you may go out onto a bit of a route march, you know, 5 mile, 10 mile, according to what was allotted, you know, being raw recruits. You know, they usually start off with 5 mile, and you'd take
it
to 10.
Did you find the route march heavy in the beginning?
Well, I didn't personally, because as I say, I was used to walking a lot in civil life. Cycling a lot, and they liked the outdoors, so once we were through the camp gates, I was quite happy swinging along.
This was a light infantry depot?
Yes.
Did you straight away go into light infantry pace in your drills and your marches? Or we gradually worked up to them?
I can't remember truthfully, Harry, whether we started at about 140 for the first couple of weeks. And they quickened it. And we did the 160.
Route march, was that at a steady pace, or again, was that at the quick pace?
Oh, it was a quick pace, yes, the infantry pace.
Yeah. On a route march, what might you be carrying?
Oh, you could be carrying your small pack and your belt and bayonet, your rifle. A water bottle and whatever.
In your pack, what would you have?
You'd have your Dixies. You'd have your housewife. You'd have cleaning equipment. And soap, towel. And any odds and sods and bits that you wanted yourself, I think, if I remember. And those other times when you went out in full FSMO, and your blanket round your big pack, and they started a stunt where you went out, the alarm bell went, and you dashed out onto parade, and they'd have the buses, and you'd embus and go for a run round in the bus. You know, you had to be all checked, counted, and way out and back in again, just as a bit of an exercise to show you were there, available, and ready for whatever came.
On a route march, did you have regular stops?
Yes. You usually had about 5 minutes break after so many miles. I just forget how they did it now. But you got that break. You could have a smoke if you wanted. But you know, soon it seemed to get settled and just enjoying the break when fall in, off we went again.
What drills were you learning in those early days?
Oh, just the usual infantry drill, Harry. Slope arms and quick march, and then they get you onto a bit of counter marching. One thing and another.
You would fire your rifle. Did you fire your Ross rifle, I believe you said you had? Did you fire
yes.
that at the, from the very beginning? Or was it a smaller rifle that you fired?
No, I fired the Ross initially, yes. And then when we moved off out of that camp, we got the small Enfield.
You talked about the accuracy of the Ross rifle.
Yes, it was very accurate, yes.
Was it an easy rifle to manipulate and fire?
It was quite heavy, Harry, and especially being small, you found it heavy. But if you were settled and comfortable and you could get used to it, they were very accurate, yes, very accurate. At least I found them so. I mean, as I said before, I won this company shoot with this other fellow, and as I said, what happened. But I liked the Ross. But when we got to the small Enfield, we liked that because it was so much lighter. And it makes a difference if you start doing 20-mile route marches.
Did you have an assault course to cover?
Oh, yes. We had assault courses, yes.
What kind of course was that?
Well, at Bransworth, it was mainly running hell for leather, you know, and then falling to ground and crawling, and they might have bits of brushwood stuck up here and there and bits of obstacles and carry on like that. But it wasn't anything really terrific there. It was just sort of get round this place, and then you'd see a row of sand, straw bags, you know, bags full of straw rather, hung up, and you charge them with the bayonet, yelling like hell.
Was there a great deal of emphasis put on bayonet and its use?
Yes, there's quite a bit, yes. Yes. I think it was a good thing because, I mean, you never knew what was coming at you and how close it would be, you know, before you had to counter with your own bayonet.
Without going into detail, did you ever have to use the bayonet? In the war itself?
In the war itself, oh yes, yes, yes. I got a slight scratch on the back of the wrist at one time with a bayonet, but I had one up the spout, so it didn't bother me very much. His rifle slid from his hand and his eyes glazed, and that was it, on I went.
Did you enjoy the training?
I just never thought a great deal one way or another. I just accepted it as part of army life and army training. That's what you were there for, sort of thing. You weren't walling bricks, you were being trained to fight. It was another thing altogether.
You mentioned that you did PE, possibly early in the morning. What other games were you allowed to play or got involved in?
Well, sometimes they had a football match, or they had rugby, which I wasn't keen on, because some of the officers we got, I think they'd been from public schools and used to rugby and not the soccer. But I didn't like it because you go into a scrum and a few of them would break wind on purpose right in your face. Well, that put me off for a start, apart from I thought it was mad. I didn't think there was as much skill as there was with the football. It was just ham slam, get in and get the hell out of it with that ball and across the line.
Who were you playing against?
Oh, just teams, you know, two teams made up from the camp. We didn't play any other camp or anything like that. I mean, you weren't there long enough for that. One or two of the PT instructors had been footballers, the Smiths and that from Wearside, I think, Sunderland Way.
Did you get the opportunity to go into nearby villages?
Yes, we were allowed to Willington, which was what, about a couple of miles up the road, up bank all the way. And then there came a part of Willington or a pub that you were barred from. I think there'd been a bit of trouble of some sort, or well, there were some loose women up that way at one time, but I don't know. But a certain pub in the area round about it was out of bounds. Other than that, we could go up into Wellington and go to the pictures there if we wanted. And you could have a drink.
How did the local civilian population take to you?
Oh, they were quite friendly, most of them, yes. If you were in a bar, if you were anywhere near them, they'd talk to you, you know. They quite decent. I mean, they were mainly pitmen and quite sociable, friendly.
Were you sent on leave?
Yes. After I was 6 months, we got a week's leave. Then we were back, and then we were posted down to Folkestone.
Where did you go on your leave?
I just came to home to Ferry Hill. As I said before, I had no real home. I stayed with my wife's people, or I stayed at an uncle and aunt's for a few days in Ferry Hill.
You didn't stay with your parents?
Well, my mother had died, and my father had married again, and things didn't go too well. She came with herself and two daughters, big rackety old mangle, where the rollers were more like a pair of Diablos than true rollers. You could have put your head through without being hurt. And a picture of a first husband in a big oval frame, and he looked three sheets in the wind, his cap on one side, and a raggy mat. Clipping mat, and that's what they came with. Inside of 6 weeks, they had more clothes than we'd had in 6 years, I think, dance dresses and God knows what. And my father was quite young when he died. And I'd left home, of course, and I never went to see him until I heard that he was really ill. And I pocketed my pride and went to see him. He was pleased to see me. She wasn't. She said, you needn't think you're coming here to get whatever you can when he dies. So I just more or less said cheerio then and came away. It was cancer.
You mentioned duties in the camp. Were you doing guard duties?
All in all, I think I did one guard, Harry, and the rest were pickets, fire pickets or line pickets.
How was a guard put together?
pardon me. You just formed up, and the sergeant stood you at ease, stood you to attention, stood you at ease again. The guard commander was approaching, an officer, of course, and he drew you to attention. You were inspected, and then he was stood down, and then you just did your allotted 2 hours stints.
There'd be a standard of polish that you would have to reach.
Oh, yes. You had to be spick and span, and your rifle cleaned, and you yourself clean, all your webbing freshly dubbined. Freshly blankoed, I should say, and your boots nicely dummied. which was the practice there.
Mm-hmm. Where did you do the guard?
At the camp gate, Harry. There was a guardhouse there, and then just below the guardhouse there was a barber's shop. Then you came on down the paths to the various huts. Mine was more or less, as you came down straight from the guard room, it was at the bottom end, at a slight angle, on the left coming down, of course, the approach of the various huts. I think the top two huts were allotted to sergeants, and the rest was a hut with a corporal in. Then carrying on down there and bearing to the right, but on your left hand side was right. On the left hand side, after one or two huts, there'd be company office, and then the dining rooms, then the ablutions. Then carrying on, bearing to the right again, but on your left-hand side would be the MT lines, coming back round to some more huts, and then you'd bear to your left, as though to go out of the camp through the main gates. There'd be the barber's shop and the guard room, and you checked out and in again at night to the guard.
You did 2 hours on. How many hours off would you?
Two on and four off, yes.
And this went through the night?
Yes, uh-huh.
Could you be inspected, or were you inspected during the course?
Oh, yes, you could be, yes. Not a lot. We weren't bothered a lot, really. Odd times, the officer would come, stand to the guard, turn out the guard, and no sooner out than in again, really. There was never any bother.
You mentioned pickets.
Yes.
What form did they take?
Well, you went round the camp with a pickaxe handle, really. The main guard was the guard that had the rifles and the ammunition available. Of course, if anything happened like that, you'd be a general stand to and turn out. But it was just a matter of form, I think, really. There was never any bother that way.
Was the picket paraded along with the guard?
No. As far as I can remember, we weren't. There was a sergeant in charge of the picket. He formed you up. And usually it was in the square or near the MT lines itself. And he just carried on more or less till dawn, taking your turns, of course, but there was a place allotted for you. If I remember rightly, at the time when I was in, there was a little hut adjacent to the MT lines. More or less, with just bits of equipment in, and you just went in there and made the best of what you could. And there was I'm not sure whether it was a corporal or a lance corporal in charge of the picket.
The general camp scene, were you involved in keeping that clean? Roads, parade grounds, so forth, hedgings and so on?
Outside your huts, you kept clean of litter, and so that everything was neat and tidy and the grass cut. But I'm not sure whether there was a few singers employed there, Harry. I think they did a lot of the brooming and that, you know, on the main trucks. Because, of course, being an initial training unit, we were out in the fields adjacent doing training, or we out the camp doing route marches or forced marches. You march so far, and you run so far, and you march so far, and you run so far to get you toughened up a bit. I think that's all I can remember about that bit.
Punishments and discipline for anyone who did get into trouble, what kind of punishment might that be? What was meted out as punishment?
Oh, there was the jankers, where they had to answer the call. I think I remember one chap on pack drill.
What did that entail?
Well, he had his big pack and rifle, and he had to run round the square. There was a sergeant in charge, kept him on the move all the time. Any flag, and he was bullied on again. And
was this harsh?
Well, to me it seemed pretty awful, to be truthful. But I don't know what he'd done to deserve it, you see. And of course, they meet the punishment out to fit the crime.
Would the sergeant run him till he dropped, or at some stage he would?
Well, we weren't stood there to watch the whole procedure. But as far as I saw, he was flagging a bit, and then he was kept running. And after that, I don't know when it stopped, or actually what time it started, or what time it stopped, and what state he was in when it did stop.